If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When you understand spiritual warfare, what that does is that enables you to recognize the avenues that Satan will use to try to capitalize on ignorance. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He didn't say they were destroyed by the things that they did. They are destroyed because they don't know what to do when the enemy comes in. We're going to start off with Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to identify powers, principalities. We're going to identify all those areas where Satan launches his attacks so that you will know what to do. Amen? Proverbs 17:17 in the Living Bible says, a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. That same passage in the Message Bible says, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Jesus was asked the question, who is my brother? In other words, who's my family? And Jesus goes on, there are a couple of instances where he addresses this. One, he was teaching in a house, and they came and they said, your mother and your sisters and your brothers are outside. And he said, who is my mother and my brother and my sisters? But those who hear and do the word of God. So that tells me that those that are born again become my brothers and my sisters because and my mothers because we all share the same God, the same Father. So we're all one. But then there was another time when he was asked, who is your neighbor? And he goes into the story then of the Good Samaritan. And in essence, what he's saying is, everyone is responsible for everyone else. Each man as my brother, each man as my friend. We were taught that song in grade school. You know, you learn that, you know, we need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend. We took it as a race of people. We took the term brother to a new level in the 60s and 70s. What's happened, brother, because we wanted to isolate ourselves from the Japhethite movements and from the European movements, you know, and the Shemite movements of the Far East. And we wanted to, you know, come up with the Cushite movement. Brother, I can understand the concept, but everyone is your brother. If you're born again, everyone is your brother. Isn't it terrible to be at war with somebody that's born again? And you're going to have to see him in heaven. And knowing God the way I do, he's going to make you live right next to him. You're going to have to love me forever. So today's message deals with the responsibility of family. I can think of no better way to close this great series than to have you understand what it means to be in a family. Is there anyone in here that has brothers and sisters? Anyone in here have cousins, aunts and uncles? Anyone in here had parents? Is there anyone in here whose parents didn't have any children? Now watch this. How many of you that have brothers and sisters and cousins, how many of you were taught how to interact with your brother and sister? Your parents sat you down and said, this is how you treat your brother. Sat you down and said, this is how you treat your sister. Let me be even more specific. How many of you are the youngest? Okay. If you're the youngest, how many of you that are the youngest were taught how to interact with your old, and I'm saying your parents sat you down and said that you have to respect them, you have to honor them, you have to do what they tell you, and you have to make up the bed when they tell you to make it up. That your parents sat you down and taught you. All right. Now, the hands were lower then. But understand what I'm saying. There are not many of us who were taught how to get along with our siblings. You picked it up as you went. That's why you fell out with them so often. That's why I fought with my brother so often. That's why the term sibling rivalry is so popular. Because no one sits us down and tells us. No one tells you as the older child, mommy's going to bring a new baby home. They lie to you. Where'd the baby come from? The stork bought it. Little boy had a homework assignment to find out where babies came from. So he comes home and he goes to his mother and he says, "Mommy, where do babies come from?" And he asks specifically, "Where did I come from?" Mommy said, "Oh, the Lord blessed us with you and we found you in the cabbage patch." He was determined to get the truth, so he went to his grandmother. He said, "Nana, where did I come from? Where do babies come from?" She said, "Oh, the Lord blessed you and blessed us and the stork brought you." He sat down and wrote his paper and said to his teacher, "I really don't know where children came from, but all I can say is there hasn't been a normal birth in my family in the last 3 generations." Because parents were so busy trying to protect us from the intricacies and the delicacies of the vaginal process. But nobody sits us down and says, "You're going to have a brother come home, and this is what I need you to do for him." Well, I mean to share this with you. God does that. God tells you how to treat your brothers and sisters because he's the ultimate parent. He's not like the nanny that comes on TV that tries to get you to let your child fall all over the floor and then walk over to him and say, "You're not behaving well and you're not getting any rice pudding." Shucks, at that stage in our culture, rice pudding's all he's going to be able to eat. Because his teeth are going to be gone. And some of you watch that show, and you know why you watch it? Because you're drawn to the ignorance. You sit there and say, "What is she saying? The boy done slapped his mother, and she's saying, now, you don't punish him. You just need to explain what he did." So God says, "Look, I have all of these children who must serve me as they serve their families. You cannot love God and hate a member of your family." This is lemon ginger tea. Tasted it for the first time in December of 2014 and actually liked it. Liked it so much that I came home to find out where I could get it from, and the staff found it. And they buy boxes of it. I can't say I love it because it has no soul to be reciprocal with love, but I can say I'm very fond of lemon ginger tea. When people come to my office, I offer them a beverage. I offer them coffee. I offer them cocoa. I offer them Lipton, but I do not offer lemon ginger tea. If Jesus comes to my office, I will offer him decaf Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, and everything else. He'll have to ask for the lemon ginger tea. But since he's all-knowing, he knows I have it up in the cabinet. But as good as this is, I enjoy Dunkin' Donuts decaf coffee. Drink it before I preach, gift of healings flow. But as much as I like Dunkin' Donuts decaf coffee, if you pour it in my lemon ginger tea, it will poison both of the things that I love. You can't love God and then add the bitterness towards somebody else to that love. It won't taste good. You may even feel justified in being bitter, but you can't love God and be bitter. You have to let the bitterness go, because God is greater than the bitterness. Amen. Amen. Families stick together. Now watch this. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ." Listen carefully. "And every one of us are members one of another." Look at the person next to you. All right, look at the other person. Okay, now, listen carefully. If the person seated next to you is a born-again Christian, ask them if they're saved. Answer them. Did anybody say no? Well, if you're not saved, you can get saved. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. The person seated next to you, you are joined with them. I love you guys, so I'm going to go there. God came down and walked in the garden with Adam. There was no house for God. his house was walking with Adam. Adam was not his house because he wasn't living inside of Adam. Adam was innocent, but he wasn't holy. See, as long as he's like a baby is innocent, but he's not holy. Because holiness is incorruptible. Had Adam been holy, it would have been a different course. But he was innocent. That's why God said, don't eat of that tree. God wanted to keep him innocent. Because the more you know, the more you can be tempted. And that seems to be paradoxical. Hosea says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But yet, the devil tried to get them to have more knowledge. But it's knowledge of the wrong thing. That's another sermon. We'll deal with that next month. But watch now. So then God moves from a garden connection with Adam. He graduates to a burning bush with Moses. A manifestation. In Genesis, it says Adam heard his voice. In Exodus, Moses sees a fire. After they leave Egypt, God says, build me a place. The place has to be portable. Why? So it goes with you because you need to be consistently aware of the fact that I am where you are. If you only see me as living at 2929 Cheltenham Avenue, then you will think that when you're over at 8th and South, I'm not there with you. No, I need you to build me a structure that is mobile. Then later on, David gets this idea. David says, we need a permanent structure for God because all the other nations have them. All the other gods have places of worship. But we go back to the Decalogue, back to the Ten Commandments, and God says, you can't have any other gods before me, but most importantly, you can't make any graven images. The reason why those other nations had houses is because they had images of their gods. Our God can't be carved because he's spirit. He's too awesome to be identified. His existence is not validated by stone, wood, or metal, but by the character and behavior of his children. The world is made aware of our God by our behavior.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11515P.
This message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.